Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yata Mahanti Bhutani.
Yata Mahanti Bhutani.
Bhutesu Charvaseshvanu.
Bhutesu Charvaseshvanu.
Bhutesu Charvaseshvanu.
Bhutesu Charvaseshvanu.
Pravistyanya Pravistani.
Pravistanya Pravistani.
Tata Teshu Nateshvaham.
Tata Teshu Nateshvaham.
Yata Mahanti Bhutani.
Bhuteshu Chashvachesvanu.
Pravishtanya Pravishtani.
Tatateshu Nateshvaham.
Can someone chant?
Yata Mahanti Bhutani.
Bhuteshu Chavasheshvanu.
Pravistanya Pravistani.
Tatateshu Natesham. One more.
Yata Mahanti Bhutani.
Bhuteshu Chavasheshvanu.
Pravistanya Pravistani.
Tata Teshu Nateshu Ham. Thank you. Can you scroll ahead to text 36? And we'll just chant the Sanskrit to 36 while we're in the chanting mood. Sanskrit, please. Is that possible? Okay.
Etavad eva jigyasyam.
Etavad eva jigyasam.
Tatva jigyasun atmana.
Tatva jigyasun atmana.
Anvaya vaitire kabhyam.
Anvaya vayatire kabhyam.
Yasyat sarvatra sarvada.
Yasyat sarvatra sarvada.
Etavad eva jigyasam.
Tatva jigyasun atmana.
Anvaya vaitire kabhyam.
Nasyat sarvatra sarvada.
Somebody else to chant, please.
Etadeva jigyasyam.
Tadva jigyasunatmana.
Anvaya vyatire kabhyam.
Yatsyat sarvatra sarvada.
And one more.
Etadeva jigyasyam.
Tatva jigyasunatmana.
Anvaya vyatire kabhyam.
Sarvata sarvada. Thank you. Now can we go to English of 35? It's the translation. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist with everything created, and at the same time I am outside of everything. Do that again. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time I am outside of everything. And sorry to make it complicated, but 36, I'll just read. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, is must certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. Again, a person who is searching after the Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this in all circumstances, in all space and time, both directly and indirectly. So it's important to keep the two themes of the two verses in mind. So in this text 36, the Lord, speaking to Brahma, is saying that a person who's searching after the Absolute Truth must search for it up to this. What is he referring to? Up to this. What does that mean? Must search to it up to this. What is he talking about? Yes, and more specifically, as you're exactly right, and more specifically, as he's mentioning in text 35 here, I'll just read it again, he's saying this very, very important principle in Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, that the Supreme Lord is present within everything, he's all-pervading, and yet he has a separate existence. So he's one with everything, but he's also different. So the point is, in these nutshell verses, the Lord is explaining to Brahma that a person who's searching after the Absolute Truth must search for it up to this point, to the point of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is as a person. That personal form of realization of the Lord is called the Bhagavan realization. So we're understanding Brahman realization, understanding the all-pervasive eternality aspect, eternal energy of the Lord. The Paramatma realization is another level of realization that's a bona fide process in the steps of God realization. Paramatma realization, understanding that the Supreme Lord exists within every living entity's heart. But further than that is the Supreme Lord does pervade everything. He is existing in everyone's heart, but he is a person himself with his own personal activities, and he's not dependent on anything else. He doesn't need us, but still, by his kindness, we have the opportunity. And the point is that by understanding God and that level of Bhagavan realization, one understands, automatically one understands the other aspects, stages of God realization. But if one is making endeavor in spiritual life and only understands a certain level of God realization, say the Brahman aspect, that the Supreme Lord's energy is all pervading, that's all one energy, it's all the same basic spiritual energy, or in the next level, that the Lord is within everyone's heart, they don't necessarily understand the Lord in his personal form, in his personal activities. And what's missing there is the most important thing, because they don't taste the taste of devotional service, of personally serving the Lord. That taste of personal service to the Lord, developing our own personal relationship with the Lord, developing to that to the fullest. That rasa of service is missing. And that rasa, that missing taste will lead one. In other words, if one has come to Brahman realization or Paramatma realization, there'll still be a hankering left in the heart for that relationship. That taste of that relationship. And that's why it's very important. That's why the Lord's saying one must search for it up to this point, and then it's considered perfect understanding of the Supreme Lord. So we'll read a little bit in the purport here and there, because it's two very long purports. to text 35. I'll start. So Prabhupada starts the purport, the first paragraph or so. He starts it reiterating this point of oneness and difference. The great elements of material creation, namely earth, water, fire, air, ether, all enter the body into the body of the manifested entities. The seas, the mountains, the aquatics, plants, reptiles, birds, beasts, human beings, demigods, and everyone materially manifested. And at the same time, such elements are differently situated. So here he's making the same point that he made in the verse, that all of these elements are the basis of creation. They enter into everything. Even the sea has elements, earth, water, fire, but it has predominantly what? Water element. The mountains have those elements. But at the same time, those elements, those basic building blocks of material creation, are separate from what's manifested. So he goes on to make the point that the Lord is like that too. In the developed stage of consciousness, the human being can study both physiological and physical science, but the basic principle of such sciences are nothing but the material elements and nothing more. The body of the human being and the body of a mountain, and also the bodies of the demigods, including Brahma, are all of the same ingredients, earth, water, etc. At the same time, the elements are beyond the body. The elements were created first, and therefore they entered into the bodily construction later, but in both circumstances, they entered the cosmos and also did not enter. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, by his different energies, namely the internal and external, is within everything in the manifested cosmos, and at the same time, he is outside of everything, situated in the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha Lok, as described before. And then Prabhupada quotes from Brahma Samhita, two verses that explain the position of the Lord. I worship the personality of Godhead Govinda, who by expansion of his internal potency of transcendental existence, knowledge, and bliss, enjoys his own expanded forms. Simultaneously, he enters into every atom of the creation. So one basic understanding that's very important to gather from these statements of Lord Brahma and here in the purport of Prabhupada, is that, and this is the whole essence of Krishna consciousness, there's nothing outside of Krishna. The unfortunate thing is that because we've come into the material world, our consciousness has now become completely reversed. As opposed to fully understanding that there's nothing outside of Krishna, now we're thinking, there's nothing outside of me. We're seeing the world in relation from us as the center. And that's the difference between a pure devotee and a conditioned soul. The pure devotee, he's in sync. He's totally in sync with the fact that there's nothing. It's Krishna's show. It's not my show. It's not my endeavor to control this or that or this. It's Krishna's show. It's Krishna's material world. It's Krishna's spiritual world. It's Krishna's energy. It's Krishna's relating with his devotees. It's all Krishna. And we might have a small part to play in that some way or other, but it's all Krishna. But our consciousness is completely reversed. And so we have this process of sadhana bhakti, the process of practicing the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness to bring our mind back to, oh, it's Krishna. It's all Krishna. It's Krishna's meant to enjoy first. Let me offer this prasad, this food to him. Krishna's meant to be glorified. Let me chant his holy names. You know, and like that. And all throughout the day, we're meant to be reminded, remembering, or trying to transform, excuse me, our consciousness from material consciousness. Yeah, I do need some water. Sorry. Sorry to bug you. trying to reform our consciousness from the material concept of I, me, and mine, I'm the most important one, to Krishna's the most important. What's Krishna's pleasure? And when we can understand what's Krishna's pleasure and how, and through the method of, and through the, via medium of the spiritual master, how to please the Lord.
Sorry.
If we can understand how to please the Lord, then things will go smoothly in our lives. Thank you. Sorry. So, it's by that attempt, by the process of sadhana bhakti. So we can, and Prabhupada says, probably in text 36 in the purport, in the end of the purport of 36, he says it doesn't matter what state a living entity is in. If he's perfectly pure, if he's most ill-behaved, if he's conditioned, it doesn't matter. If he's covered by the modes of, if he comes and just lends his ear to hear about the glories of the Lord, then the process of purification will begin and one will become eventually qualified to make progress in this stage of God realization. Now we might look at ourselves and we might think, wow, you know, from the description in Srimad Bhagavatam and like, the example of Maharaj Parikit or the examples given of the great sages, how determined they were and what what endeavors they meant they underwent for self-realization. We might think, oh, I mean, I just came because I like the devotees, or I just came because I like the food, or I just came because, you know, whatever, you know. We might compare our level of determination, and it might be not very, it doesn't compare to the level of realization of someone who's actually searching after the absolute truth up to this point. It's the only goal in their life, and their whole one focused attention is on that. They don't do anything else but endeavor for self-realization. But Prabhupada so kindly, Lord Chaitanya has so kindly brought us this process of bhakti yoga applicable in this age of Kali, so that we can all join in somehow and gradually make progress. But if you take to it seriously, then you will actually make leaps and bounds of spiritual progress and come to this highest level of realization. Excuse me. Okay. Now, an important point that I was talking about this understanding of the relationship, of how sweet it is, that relationship, how the Lord has such a nice, loving relationship with each one of his devotees, Prabhupada talks about in this next paragraph. Yeah, right after that. The impersonalist can imagine, the impersonalist can imagine or even perceive that the Supreme Lord is thus all-pervading. So they can understand a certain level. Now, that's all-pervading means Brahman realization. So an impersonalist can understand that the Lord is all-pervading. And therefore, that they conclude there's no possibility of his personal form. And herein lies the mystery of his transcendental knowledge. Now, Prabhupada uses this word mystery in this purport and the next purport at least 10 times. The mystery of transcendental knowledge. This mystery is transcendental love of God. And one who is surcharged with such transcendental love of God can without difficulty see the personality of Godhead in every atom, in every movable and immovable object. And at the same time, what he can see the Lord within everything, and he can see the Lord separate with his own, in his own abode. He can see and relish that relationship of the personal form. And that's why Srila Prabhupada, he's constantly hammering away and defeating impersonalism and voidism. Because it's the biggest cheating propaganda. Because it cheats, what's the cheating? It cheats the individual soul out of their personal, of developing their personal relationship with the Lord, which is so sweet and inconceivably, the happiness is always expanding, that anyone who begins to develop a taste for developing that can automatically give up all material pleasures very easily because the taste is superior. What's the verse in Bhagavad Gita about the superior taste? Yes. Param drishtva nivartate. And when one tastes that param drishtva nivartate, when one gets a superior or a higher pleasure, then automatically you can give up lower pleasures. It's not like you're hankering for something. It's just like, it's not pleasurable anymore. You go for what brings the most pleasure. And that's why Srila Prabhupada is constantly trying to make sure we understand the pitfalls of impersonal philosophy and how it actually cheats one from that real experiencing the real flavor of love of God. So further down in that same paragraph, toward the end, toward where the verse Premanjana Charita. So then he says, this mystery can be revealed through the process recommended by Brahmaji in his Brahma Samhita 5:38 as follows. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom the pure devotees, their eyes smeared with the ointment of love of Godhead, always observe within their hearts. This Govinda, the original personality of Godhead, is Shyama Sundar with all transcendental qualities. So Prabhupada just told us in this purport the qualification. what is it that someone who's got their eyes smeared with love of Godhead, what is it that Prabhupada just told us in the purport they're able to see? Ankush? And? His eternal pastimes and that he's situated everywhere. Those both things. Only then can you see those things. Otherwise, you're seeing something and not the whole thing. So, next couple of paragraphs, two more paragraphs, or one. Okay, skipping one paragraph. Then, the Lord can award anyone. The Lord can award anyone and everyone liberation from the bondage of material existence. Yet he rarely awards the privilege of love of Godhead. So this we studied in our Nectar of Devotion Bhakti Shastri class. And this is one of the six symptoms of pure love of God is the sixth symptom. The sixth one is very rarely achieved. Pure love of Godhead is very rarely achieved. So this is the point Prabhupada's making here. Krishna can award mukti, liberation from the cycle of birth and death, easily. But he very rarely awards pure devotional service. So why is that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you're right. And Bala was saying? Exactly. Because Krishna, he becomes under the subordination. He becomes under the control of the devotee's love. And that's part of the mystery. Prabhupada uses this word again, mystery, the mystery of transcendental science, the mystery of devotional service, is that Krishna, the all-supreme controller, the all-powerful personality of Godhead, the controller of everything and everyone, not a blade of grass moves without his consent. He becomes under the control of the pure love of his devotees. And therefore, he's reluctant to give it out unless someone very, really, really deserves it. Unless they're free from motivation of gyan or material benefits or so many things. Unless those motivations have been put aside and only that pure love of God, only to serve God out of love is our motivation, then gradually, he'll reveal that to him. And he becomes under the control of those devotees. Can you think of, let's just a couple of examples from scriptures of Krishna coming under the control of his devotees. But you have to raise your hand because if you all talk at once, I can't tell who's talking. Oh, yeah, Mike. But Sagar is going to talk anyway because you're not fast enough. Sagar? Oh. Yasoda?
Yasoda?
What about Yasoda? Can you be a little more specific?
Oh, like how?
We know you can.
So in the particular pastime where she ties Krishna with the rope. And
yeah.
Initially, Krishna obviously rope is short by 2 inches, but
another
then he subsides.
Oh, sorry. Another pastime. Someone else who hasn't spoken yet. What's your name?
Derek.
Okay, Derek.
Parasanta. Parasanta. The chariot driver of Arjuna.
Parasarati.
Parasarati.
Okay, and tell us what that is.
When Krishna, he became the charioteer for Arjuna.
Mm-hmm.
So he was submitted under Arjuna's control, basically.
Yeah. What did Arjuna say to him? Bring my chariot over here. And he went over there with his chariot. Yeah, so Krishna comes under the control of his devotees very easily when it's love. When there's love, he becomes under the control of his devotees. So, so Prabhupada makes the point, we're finishing up in this text 35, when you get to Sarva Guyatamam Bhuyam, right before that. In the Bhagavad Gita 1864, the Lord therefore advised Arjuna about this bhakti yoga. Sarva guya tamam bhuyam, shrinu me paramam vacha. Just hear from me, tat shrinu, just hear from me about the most confidential part of the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. The same was confirmed by Brahmaji to Narada in the following words. Idam bhagavatam nama. Brahmaji said to Narada, whatever I have spoken to you about the Bhagavatam was explained to me by the personality of Godhead, and I am advising you to expand these topics nicely so that the people may easily understand the mysterious bhakti yoga by transcendental loving service to the Lord. So these four verses that the Lord spoke to Brahma, this is the essence of all the knowledge that's spoken in the Bhagavatam. And Brahma repeated these verses to Narada, and then Narada to Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva expanding on them, he has delineated all these cantos of the Bhagavatam. In the earthly planet, there's 12 cantos. In the higher planets, where people have higher capacity, there's even more details and more glories of the Lord. So there's a little... might have mentioned it here before, but maybe you won't remember. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a pastime of when Lord Jagannath is moved from his altar to the Rath cart. In the process of moving, he's set on these cushions called tulis. So he's a big, heavy deity, and he's carried by his servants from one cushion pad to another cushion pad. And because the Lord's so heavy, when they sit him on the pad compresses and breaks. So then the cotton fluffs up in the air. Now, the reason I'm mentioning that is because these verses have condensed information about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when one is realized, when the realized soul begins to meditate on these verses, they see that from that expands so much information. Just like in the process of planting a seed, that you got the little seed of the sunflower seed, small, teeny little seed. You put it in the ground, and from that seed is the potency to grow another plant with hundreds, maybe even a few hundred more seeds, with a few hundred more plants inside those seeds, and on and on and on. So this information is like that, ever expanding. And therefore, how is it that we get to understand this transcendental knowledge? Devotional service. Is it that we get to understand devotional service? Yes, you're right. We have to hear. We have to hear from the bona fide spiritual master. Hear from the disciplic succession. Just by hearing. It starts with hearing. The most important sense is our hearing. It's not our eyes. It's not that we have to see God with our eyes. We have to see God with our ears. Text 36. I'll just read the verse again. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this in all circumstance, in all space and time, both directly and indirectly. And in the purport, very beginning, Prabhupada again talks about the mystery of bhakti yoga. To unfold the mystery of bhakti yoga, as it is explained in the previous verse, is the ultimate stage of all inquiries or the highest objective for the inquisitive. And then Prabhupada talks about people who are searching after the Lord in different stages of realization by through karma, even through karma activities. They're looking to be elevated. Through jnana, through knowledge, they're looking for the Supreme Lord through knowledge. Through all of these processes, one has to continue to search for it up to this point of, what's the point? Bhakti. The point of bhakti, transcendental loving service to the Lord. What's your name? Rajahari? Jai, Hare Krishna. The process of bhakti yoga. And Srila Prabhupada practically reviews the whole sojourn that the living entity makes. So I'll just read briefly from the second paragraph. The Vedanta Sutra philosophy begins with this inquiry about life. What's the inquiry about life? Yes. We're going to have to get someone else besides you to answer, but it's okay. I'm glad you're there. Yes, that inquiry, where am I? Who am I? Why am I here? What's the purpose of life? If Prabhupada says, what does he say about those questions? What does he say? Somebody other than on this table. Gopal? That's the beginning of human life. We're thinking that we're so advanced, we have nice technological screen, you know, whatever. We're thinking that we're so advanced, and so, but the beginning of human life doesn't mean a nice skyscraper and a nice car and a nice this and a nice that. The beginning, human life, civilized human life means, what's the purpose of life? What am I doing here? Why am I here? What's the goal of my life? Amazing, isn't it, how previous to coming in contact with Krishna consciousness, I never thought of that. You know, and how many other people out there are working really, really hard to live without thinking of what's the goal of my life? What's the purpose of all this activity? So that's the beginning. So from that beginning to the level of realizing Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, there's a long journey there. There's a long journey there. So the Vedas lead us through, and the spiritual master, the disciples there, will lead us through that. But what Srila Prabhupada is famous for is showing us the elevator. As opposed to climbing up the stairs of the Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, all the different processes of yoga, and doing Astanga yoga and severe austerities and this and that and this and that, and gradually making progress, Srila Prabhupada said, here's the elevator. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're his servant. Do some service for him. Chant his holy name and zoop, one becomes elevated to the highest level. I'm skipping the whole paragraph and going to the next paragraph. It's a long paragraph, but it says, the revealed scriptures. It's the very next paragraph. The revealed scriptures give directions directly to this end, but because the bewildered living entities are blinded by the glaring reflection in the darkness, they are unable to find the truth of the revealed scriptures. So that's an example, a phrase Srila Prabhupada uses, and the Vedas use as an example. It's a glaring reflection in the darkness. So what does that mean? The material world is darkness. The material world is darkness. The spiritual world is full of light. But there's light in the material world, but it's just a reflection. It's not the real thing. And we get blinded by the glaring reflection. And instead of turning our attention to the Supreme Lord, we're bewildered by the advancement of material civilization, that glaring reflection in the darkness in the material world. And therefore, unless we hear properly, we don't turn towards the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada's going to say at the end, well, sort of in the middle of this paragraph, Ishvara Parama, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam. What he's saying here is that Krishna says this same information in Bhagavad Gita. I'll read a couple of sentences. In the Gita, this is just one sentence before that, Ishvara Sarva. In the Gita, practically the same instruction is imparted as the four prime verses of the Bhagavatam. But due to wrong and fashionable interpretations by unauthorized persons, one cannot reach the ultimate conclusion. So the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is stated here. Can somebody read that, please, Ishvara? Ankush, can you read that?
Ishvara sarvabhutanam riteshu arjuna tishtati brahmyan sarvabhutani yantra rurani mayaya.
And the next sentence or two.
The Lord is situated in the hearts of all living beings as Paramatma, and He is controlling all of them in the material world under the agency of His external energy. Therefore, it is clearly mentioned that the Lord is the supreme controller and the living entities are controlled by the Lord. In the same Bhagavad Gita 1865, the Lord directs as follows.
Manmana bhav mal bhakta madhyaji mam namaskuru mam eva yasi satyam te pratijane priyo shime.
Okay, and read the next sentence, please.
It's clear from this verse of the Bhagavad Gita that the direction of the Lord is that one should be God-minded, a devotee of the Lord, a worshipper of the Lord, and must offer all obeisances unto Lord Krishna. By doing so, the devotee will undoubtedly go back to Godhead, back to home.
Thanks. So these two verses that were quoted from Bhagavad Gita, they're saying essentially the same thing that these four verses of the Bhagavatam are saying. That Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, I am the supreme controller, I am the dearmost friend of all living entities, I'm situated in everyone's heart, and then, if you want to understand me, then you have to worship me. By worshiping me and seeing that I'm the controller, but I'm also a person, I have my personal energies and my personal relationships, and by understanding that, then one is properly situated. Skipping along. After Parabhavas Tavad Abhajo Dajato, there's the translation. As long as one is blind to inquiring after self-realization, all material activities, however great they may be, are all different kinds of defeat because the aim of human life is not fulfilled by such unwanted and profitless activities. The function of the human body is to attain freedom from material bondage, but as long as one is fully absorbed in material activities, his mind will be overwhelmed in the whirlpool of matter, and thus he will continue to be engaged in material bodies life after life. There was one part where Prabhupada talks about how it's the mind. The next one? Oh, yeah, thanks, exactly. Right there. It's one here. This is very interesting. We've heard it 100 times, but still. It is one's mind that generates different kinds of bodies for suffering different kinds of material pangs. I'm going to read that again. It's one's mind that generates different kinds of bodies for suffering different kinds of material pangs. Okay, so I need you to explain that.
How is it that it's the mind that generates activity?
Okay, I was reading in Spiritual Warrior 6, and Bhakti Titta Swami was explaining that the mind, he was using the term mental constructs, and we have these mental constructs, and we're constantly going back to that constantly. So when we realize that it's only Krishna, then we start to, through the process of...
Because mind is like warehouse of desires, and new
the mind is the center, because the mind is the source, because the desires come through the mind.
And the desires come in the mind, and then we get pushed by those desires. Then we act. Then the activities... Thank you. And then from those activities, then we generate reactions. And then the reactions generate what? Future bodies. So it all begins with the mind. And therefore, over and over again, in the process of bhakti yoga, it's stressed, control the mind. And most of us leave that as the last thing that we do. We just try to mechanically, you know, put on a sari or a dhoti and put your head on the ground and put your head in your bead bag, and the mind sometimes floats around in the atmosphere. But that, it's understandable. But still, the point is to control the mind. And how is it that we control the mind in devotional service? By engaging in devotional service, by chanting the Lord's name, and by trying to experience that taste of performing devotional service. And then, as the mind wanders off again, bring it back to the devotional service, to the Lord. So it's that process that has to be undertaken by everyone up to the highest point. And it's the most difficult process, but it will eventually happen by constant endeavor, right? Okay, we're almost, not really almost through. There's like lots more. It's a very long purport and very full of wonderful information. Here at the end, I think I'll skip to the end. I mentioned it. After you see the verse, Kita Pakshi Mriganam Cha. It's a few pages away. Kita Pakshi Mriganam Cha. Okay, so the quote for that is, even the worms, birds, and beasts are assured of elevation to the highest perfection of life if they are completely surrendered to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So what to speak of the philosophers amongst the human beings? So sometimes when we talk about things like controlling the mind and fixing it on the Lord's lotus feet and never let it deviate for a second and this and that and don't make offenses, and it seems like so difficult. But here's a very encouraging statement. Even worms, birds and beasts are assured of elevation to the highest perfection of life if they are completely surrendered to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So then Prabhupada says in the next paragraph, therefore, there is no need to seek properly qualified candidates for discharging devotional service. Let them be either well-behaved or ill-trained. Let them be either learned or fools. Let them be either grossly attached or in the renounced order of life. Let them be liberated souls or desirous of salvation. Let them be inexpert in the discharge of devotional service or expert in the same. All of them can be elevated to the supreme position by discharging devotional service under proper guidance. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It's so encouraging, you know. We have the highest understanding of God realization, and yet some of us, myself, are like the least qualified to understand this. But it doesn't matter our qualifications, because the potency of devotional service is far superior to our disqualification. Just take to the process. Just begin skipping a little bit more to Yat Karosi, Yat Anasi. Do whatever you like or whatever may be easy for you to do. Eat whatever you may eat. Oh, sacrifice whatever you can sacrifice. Give whatever you may give in charity, and do whatever you may undertake in penance. But everything must be done for him only. If you do business or if you accept some employment, do so on the behalf of the Lord. Whatever you may eat, you may offer the same to the Lord, and be assured that he will return the food after eating it himself. So here we go. He's going to... Maybe he might eat it all today. He is the complete whole, and therefore whatever he may eat is offered by the devotee, is accepted because of the devotee's love, but again is returned as prasad for the devotee so he can be happy by eating. In other words, be a servant of God and live peacefully in that consciousness, ultimately returning back home, back to Godhead. And still there's more to this purport. And we'll just skip to the end again and see if there's any discussion. So now go to etad nirvidyamananam ichatam akutobayam yoginam nripanrinitam harernamanukirtanam. Was that one of your verses for memorization? Good. Want to do it again? Without looking, or do you need to look? Okay, if you don't have to look, don't look. Let's do it together, loud. Etan nirvidyamananam ichatam akutobayam yoginam nripanirnitam harernamanukirtanam. O King, it is finally decided that everyone, namely those in the renounced order of life, the mystics, and the enjoyers of all fruit of work, should chant the holy name of the Lord fearlessly to achieve the desired success in their pursuits. So, Prabhupada says, similarly, as indicated indirectly in various places, so he lists six things here. One, even though one is well versed in the Vedas, in all the Vedas and scriptures, if one is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, he is considered the lowest of mankind. Who has the microphone? Can you read number two and then pass it around so there's a little variety of voice here? Brihan Naradiya Purana. Okay, someone else? Number three. What's a Prajapati, Nimanita? Mr.
Yes, Prajanita.
Huh?
One who is appointed as to increase the population of the universe.
Thank you. Okay, number four.
Sukadeva Goswami said, Bhagavatam 2.4.17, that neither the ascetic, nor one who is generally munificent, nor one who is famous, nor the great philosopher, nor the great occultist, nor anyone else can achieve the desired result without...
Or you should quit, or you should figure out how to glorify the Lord. Vaibhav, number six. Okay, thanks. Can you scroll down, Nimai? Okay, good. Okay, so what were those six points? I forgot.